The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Your discretion is advised.
When Nicole Sandler sits down to do her show, she's the producer, booking the guests, pulling the audio, planning the show, the engineer, running the controls, troubleshooting any problems, playing the sounds, calling the guests, and she's the webmaster, writing the blog, posting the podcast, maintaining the website, not to mention the host, interviewing the guests, explaining the issues, giving opinions, and calling out the bad guys. And then you get the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
Howdy folks, Mangy Fetlocks here with a little song about America's disgraced former mayor, Rudy G. Rudy G is going to be looking at a bankruptcy. The Ruby Freeman family have won a suit against Rudy G. Rudy G, mayorally, once was revered, supposedly. Now it is very clear to see it's dark ahead for Rudy G.
Oh, yeah.
For Rudy acted stupidly.
You think?
And now he'll pay, apparently.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Mangy Fetlock. So, you know what? Let's do one more, because we can.
Howdy, folks. Mangy Fetlock's here with a song about three American heroes. Fannie Willis, Tanya Chutkin, and Letitia James are holding Donald's small feet to the fire. In heeding justice calls, they have got him by the balls, which never has been Donald's great desire. Connie Willis, Tanya Chutkin, and Letitia James are powerful women, which makes Donald quake. They'll hold him to account, for truth is paramount, and Trump's defense is bogus, flawed, and fake. Just like his whole backstory. Thanks for listening.
Mangy Fetlocks, everyone. Although, you know, if you go on YouTube looking for Mangy Fetlocks, you won't find him because his actual name is Bruce W. Nelson. So that's who you need to look for. I'll put a link to his stuff today up on the blog because, you know, I've been remiss. So thank you, Mangy. Thank you, Mangy, for a couple of rip-roaring songs to get us started for today. I don't know where that came from. I'm just tired. Welcome to a Thursday. I checked the phone lines. So Howie Klein will be joining us in about, 30 minutes or so. And I know that the phone worked. This is last week. It didn't. And you know what happened? I think we had just gone in, you know, back into Mercury retrograde when everything fell apart. Although I know technical problems are nothing new on this program. Anyway, Howie will be here today, I promise. And it's a good thing because, you know, I'm reading on Down with Tyranny. And Seafields said, I sent you an email with a song this morning. Hopefully you received it. I don't think so. Let's see. What time? I get a lot of emails. And let me tell you something. I'm really distressed because right now my main email account, and I've been really good. I've had this address for a long time, but I think the spam is winning. Spam, 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 spam. Sorry. I am inundated with spam. No matter how many times I block the sender, they keep coming in. So I may have to abandon this email address. I've had to abandon others before. And again, I kept it clean for a long time. I'll tell you what happened. The minute the Republicans got a hold of this email address, it all went to shit. I'm telling you, I got on some Donald Trump email list. And And ever since then, I get like the Patriot newsletter or something and some Trump thing. I successfully blocked the Trump thing, I still get the Patriot email. But part of me wants to keep it because it's actually comical, depending on my mood. It's either comical or it really pisses me off. But I noticed right around the time that I started getting those, all of a sudden I started getting these millions of spam. I mean, millions, I'm exaggerating, obviously, but I'm inundated with spam messages. And so sometimes I give up. It's like, I can't do it. So if I miss your email, I'm sorry. But I think I found the one C. Fields just sent. And you know what? Because I trust you, maybe I shouldn't. I'm going to play it. I'm going to play it blind. Or I don't know what the correct terminology would be. I'm going to play it without having heard it. Hold on. I just got to get past, you know, the commercial because they do that all the time. All right. So it says it's an angry song incoming. It's from somebody named Julie Lavery. And hold on. Let me get the shot. This is on you if this is not good. All right, here we go.
All right, angry song incoming.
Okay.
This is called Stars and Stripes.
Okay.
My sister can't afford a house and she thinks it's her fault. She says if she worked harder, she'd have money in the vault. My mother needs a surgery, her hand's always in pain. But she fell ill last April and used up all her sick days.
Okay. I like the three dream catchers on the wall behind her. She's got them all caught, I guess.
They say the homeless need to disappear, extract them like a tumor. A stain on our society, they're all broken consumers. Don't try to put the blame on us, they ruin their own lives. It's not our fault that they got hooked on drugs that we prescribed.
Uh-oh.
Stars for the silver spoons, stripes for the poor. Don't fall in line. We send our babies off to school. The children are the future. Then teach them how to hide beneath their desk for active shooters. Oh, we can make a difference if we weren't so fucking tired. Trying to survive. Stars for the silver spoons, stripes for the poor. Stars for the nightly news, stripes if you oppose the war. Stars if you steal the land, stripes if you take a stand. Stars if you march in time, stripes if you don't fall in line. They want a standing ovation for the hero nation. But why should we, when the man on the corner begging for a quarter lost his legs on your silver spoons, stripes don't fall in line.
Oh, okay. Well, her name is, Julie Lavery. Julie Lavery. And we got to thank our chatter, C. Fields, who sent me that link this morning. I actually didn't hear it before. I played it blind. You know, you get what I'm saying. And it was really good. It was good. It's not the kind of, not the kind of song I usually play on this show, but it worked and had a good pee. No. It was very good. Julie Lavery on the YouTube. And look, she just put it up 4 days ago. Oh, she's a TikToker. She put it up on YouTube 4 days ago and already got 10,000 views. Good for her. Very nice. I'll tell you what. Someone in the chat room asked for the a link. It's YouTube. And her name is Julie Lavery. So do check it out. I'll tell you, I have another song that I really want to play for you. And the thing is, I think Julie Lavery is, she's a TikToker. I'm hoping I don't get, what they're doing now, just so you know, it seems I've gotten a little more liberal with playing music on the YouTube. The only reason is YouTube is doing more of, profit sharing or something. If I play something and somebody claims the copyright, and half the time the people that claim the copyright are not the copyright holders. Yes, Howie's coming today. There are, weird publishing companies that just take, say, oh, that's mine. And there's no way to fight it. And whatever. They take a percentage of any revenue you earn from that stream. Come on. I don't have a whole lot of people watching each day and I don't make so much revenue on them. And if they want to take, 20 of the 40 cents that I might earn for an episode, yeah, go for it. But I'll tell you what I do want to play is there is a song. Are you familiar with Billy Bragg? Billy Bragg is in the UK. He's British. And I don't want to say he's an anarchist, but he's, he's a rebel. And he rebels through songs. I mean, he's old school protest music. I got to interview him probably 10 years ago or so as he did a new version of Beethoven's Fifth. Right. That was the Ode to Joy. He did. I may have to pull it out one of these days. As when we move, I'm going to be running some, at least for a week, maybe two. I'm going to run some old, best ofs. I hate calling them best ofs because what's to say they're better than the others. But, good shows from the past that are worth repeating. And I may pull some music stuff out and I may pull the Billy Bragg out. But anyway, Billy Bragg. It has a YouTube account. And let me just share what he wrote, a song called Rich Men Earning North of a Million. Now, you've heard about the guy, Anthony, who has this song that's burning up the country music charts, Rich Men North of Richmond. And they started the Republican primary debate with it. Thank you, Beethoven's Ninth. I'm so not a classical music person. Thank you, Nevitz, forever. Anyway. So Billy Bragg wrote on his YouTube page just a few days ago, since I saw that clip of Oliver Anthony singing his song, Rich Men North of Richmond, the ghost of Woody Guthrie has been whispering in my ear, help that guy out. Woody keeps telling me, let him know there's a way to deal with those problems he's singing about. So today I sat down and wrote this response to Mr. Anthony's song, for people like him and people like you. I think I have to play it for you. All right. And again, Billy Bragg would never copyright violate me. The publisher might, but Billy Bragg wouldn't. So we'll see what happens here. And there's no video to go with the song. He just recorded it. And so I'm going to, everyone in the chat room is talking about Ode to Joy. I'm going to pull out that Billy Bragg interview and play it. It's on my list. I'm assembling a list of shows to play when we're on the road moving, which will be sometime next month. And I'm gonna pull Billy Bragg. So he's going on the list. If you have any suggestions, any old interviews you would like to hear, bring them. You can email me, Nicole@NicoleSandler.com, and hopefully it'll break through the all the spam. Anyway, I probably shouldn't, but here we go. The Billy Bragg song. And somewhere in the middle of it, I'm probably going to flip. So if you're watching on YouTube, because there is no video, it's just a picture, I'm gonna show you the lyrics. Okay? All right. Here goes nothing. Again, it's Billy Bragg. So, you know. All right. Listen up. It's called Rich Men Earning North of a Million.
If you're selling your soul, working all day, overtime hours for bullshit pay, well, nothing's gonna change if all you do is wish you could wake up and it not be true. Join a union.
Join a union.
Fight
Love
for
it.
Better pay. Solidarity. That ain't right, friend. If you're struggling with your health and you're putting on the pounds, doctor gives you opiates to help you get around. Well, wouldn't it be better for folks like you and me if medicine was subsidized and healthcare was free? Join a union. Fight for better pay. Come on and join a union, sister. Organize today.
Hell yeah.
It comes down to the self same thing if you're black or white or brown. Rich men earning north of a million wanna keep the working folk down. Wanna keep the working folk down. Culture wars are there to distract while libertarian billionaires avoid paying tax. Woo-hoo. You wanna talk about bathrooms while the floodwaters rise. The forest is on fire and the wind burns our eyes. Ah. Something's wrong here. Well, they want to divide us because together we're strong. Are you going to take action now? You sung your damn song. If you don't like the rich man having total control, you better get the union to roll.
Hell yeah.
Union. Fight for better pay. Don't matter if you live in the city or some little country town. Rich men earning north of a million. Rich men earning north of a million. I see rich men earning north of a million. Wanna keep the working folk down. Wanna keep the working folk down. Selling your soul and you're working all day, overtime hours for bullshit pay. Join a union.
Fuck yeah. Billy Bragg. And that is available on his YouTube page. Again, if you missed the intro, what he wrote was, since I saw that clip of Oliver Anthony, hold on, let me bring it over here so I'm not looking back the other way. Since I saw that clip of Oliver Anthony singing his song, Rich Men North of Richmond, the ghost of Woody Guthrie has been whispering in my ear, help that guy out. Woody keeps telling me, let him know there's a way to deal with those problems he's singing about. So today I sat down and wrote this response to Mr. Anthony's song for people like him and people like you. And let me tell you what a union did for me. I am a union member. I am an AFTRA member, although I've been on, but it's honorable withdrawal because I live in Florida, a right to work for less state. Yeah, they don't recognize unions here in Florida, but in California, they did. And I did radio for 15 years in Los Angeles. And because I was a member of AFTRA, I start collecting my pension next month. I get a pension. It's not a ton of money, but it's $1,192 a month. For the rest of my life, I will get $1,192 a month for the rest of my life from AFTRA because I was vested in the union, AFTRA, for working in radio in Los Angeles for 15 years. Thank God, or actually thank dog, for the union. Frankly, it's saving my life. Let me tell you, because getting older and at the age of, Tamara says, Mr. Anthony is no poor man. He lives slash owns 90 acres. Okay. So my pension, I'm taking it early. I guess if I waited till I was 72, I'd get more. Yes, David. And?
Isn't it true that if you croak before a certain age, I get the money?
You get half.
I get half the money?
If you outlive me and I die, well, I would have to die for you to outlive me, you will get 50% of my monthly pension payment for the rest of your life.
And I wasn't even on the radio.
I know. Look at that. So join a union. Quit bitching. Yeah, I guess you can write a sad country song, but join a union. Yeah. So, yeah, right? It is great. And, you know, I'm going to be, will you still feed me? Will you still need me when I'm 64? I'm going to be 64 November 4th. And so, yeah. Thank you, AFTRA. Thank you to all my employers on the radio in Los Angeles all those years ago, because I have a pension coming. The gift that keeps on giving. All right. Join a union. Thank you, Billy Bragg. Yes. Okay. So there was some news today. All right. Enough of that. The big news is, it's so sad. Not really. The Proud Boys are beginning to be sentenced. Now, I love doing the Marcy Wheeler pronunciation of Enrique Tarrio. For some, we were expecting his sentencing today. It's been delayed, probably till next week. I don't know, somebody's sick. I don't know what it is. But so Enrique Tarrio we'll have to wait on. But Joe Biggs was sentenced today. Now, I want to share something with you from the Washington Post coverage of it. Biggs, you know, he was such a tough guy on January 6th. You know, he's the one who knocked down the fence to let his people through. The judge, here's how the Washington Post describing the statement that Biggs made to the court after he was found guilty. It says, Biggs said in a tearful statement to the judge that he was not a leader, but one of the seduced. Donald Trump seduced you? Maybe you need to go to a mental hospital. Sorry. Here's what he said. I know that I messed up that day, but I'm not a terrorist. My curiosity got the better of me, and I'll have to live with that for the rest of my life. He said he had been planning for January 6th to be his last outing with the Proud Boys, and that his violent statements were a way to vent his anger over being injured in combat. Yeah, because that makes sense. You're injured in combat, so you storm the Capitol? And learning that a young family member had been abused. Again, that's the logical reaction to a family member being abused. You participate in an insurrection.
Bullshit.
Anyway, he continued, I used that rhetoric to cope and not take violent action. But you did take violent action, you moron. In fact, he shot a selfie. Okay, this says it all. This is Joe Biggs on January 6th with some of his cronies. The words actually speak for themselves. Oops.
So we just stormed the fucking Capitol, the motherfucking place back. That was so much fun.
It was so much fun.
So much America.
So much America.
January 6th will be a day in infamy.
Yes.
January 6th will be a day in infamy. He doesn't even get the fucking quote right. But poor Joe Biggs, his tearful statement to the judge that he wasn't a leader, he was just seduced by Donald Trump, didn't work. Joe Biggs was sentenced today to 17 years in federal prison. That's second only to the 18 years that another Proud Boy got. Yeah, he doesn't look seduced, right? He doesn't look seduced. Oh, you know, you can't fucking lie forever. Yes, it's now a Colt 45 classic. Yeah, so that happened today. And again, one of the longest January 6th sentences. And I can only, I got to say, though, that the prosecutors asked for 33 years. So there is that. 17 years. He's blaming his a relative was abused and he got injured in combat? That's some class A royal.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I hope he rots in jail. And I hope they save the cell next to him for Donald. Donald McDonald. Yeah. Anyway, what a spoiled brat. I'm loving the comments. Yes, Hernan is asking, isn't the Proud Boy founder a Latino or something? That's Enrique Tarrio. And his sentencing has been delayed about a week. I don't know. There's its illness or something. Whatever. It's just more anticipation. Anticipation. Sorry, I get carried away. Now, down there in Georgia, Governor Kemp did not give the people what they want. Yeah, you know, look, I was all for Stacey Abrams, not that I had any say in who Georgia voted for governor, but I was a little distressed that that Kemp got back in. But actually, now I'm not so bad. I'm not so upset. He had a press conference today on the Hurricane Idalia, and a lot of you told me the name is perfectly respectable. That's all right. I wouldn't name my kid Idalia, but hey, you know, nobody asked me. Anyway, Governor. Well, let me just play for you a clip. There are some state legislators in Georgia who are calling for either or both getting Fani Willis out of office. That's the first thing. They want to pass legislation that would allow the legislature in Georgia to remove from office any prosecutor that they deem is not doing their job. In other words, they want to do in Georgia, they want to give themselves the power in Georgia to do what Ron DeSantis thinks he has the power to do here in Florida. Doesn't matter that he doesn't have the power. He's using it. He's removed two, count them, two prosecutors already for no good reason. Duly elected by the American people, by the Florida people, prosecutor. But here's what Brian Kemp said in response to a question about that pending legislation there in Georgia.
I did want to take just a few minutes to speak to some history that's trying to repeat itself over the last few days here in Georgia.
Okay.
Many of you will recall that in the final weeks of 2020, I clearly and repeatedly said that I would not be calling a special session of the General Assembly to overturn the 2020 election results because such an action would have been unconstitutional. It was that simple.
It was that simple.
Fast forward today, nearly 3 years later, memories are fading fast.
Mm-hmm.
There have been calls by one individual in the General Assembly and echoed outside of these walls by the former president for a special session that would ignore current Georgia law and directly interfere with the proceedings of a separate but equal branch of government. Now, my concerns with the Fulton County District Attorney's handling of this case and the special purpose grand jury have been well documented. We are now seeing what happens when prosecutors move forward with highly charged indictments and trials in the middle of an election.
Blah, 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 blah.
Simply put, it sows distrust and provides...
All right. Shut up. Enough of this, because it's propaganda he's spewing now. The bottom line is, he's not going to allow the legislature to move Fani Willis from office. And then he got this question, All right, I'm just going to bring it up like this. He got this question from the press conference. Here, I'm just going to play it right from here. This is from the recount. Hold on. Let me back it up so you can hear the beginning of the thing.
Senator Moore is also talking about pursuing the funding, the statutory funding that goes to district attorney's office.
They're getting rid of the funding for the district
laid
attorney.
That out pretty clearly yesterday, because if he's wanting to defund a district attorney, it's going to defund all of them.
Uh-oh.
And this is a conversation. He's a legislator. If he wants to have that conversation, he can do it during the regular session that we have coming up in January.
He can.
But let me just say this. You know, these are the distractions that get you to lose elections.
Yeah.
Last time we were talking about special sessions in the state of Georgia, just a few weeks later, the Republican majority lost two U.S. Senate races.
Yes, they did. And hopefully they'll keep losing. So, yeah, Brian Kemp is making a little bit of sense. Not too much sense. After all, he is a Republican. You know how that goes. All right. With that, let's get Howie on the line. Whose turn is it to mix up the Dirty Debbies today? I just finished my coffee drink. Now I need a little something with an extra punch. All right. Bring it on.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Yo, Howie Klein.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. See, this is how it's supposed to work. I call, you're there. Last week, it was gremlins, I guess. So I kept getting voicemail, but you said you heard me, which is really weird.
I heard you, and I kept saying, do you hear me? Do you hear me?
No, I got voicemail. Hello. Anyway, you're here now. And I'm so glad. So, you know, I had emailed you earlier and asked if you had heard that Billy Bragg song. And you said, yeah, I embedded it last week and I missed it. But I played it. And he's so good. And it's the perfect response to that Oliver Anthony song that, you know, they even started the debate with.
Because he didn't totally condemn Oliver either.
Oh, no, that's not what it was about. It was about showing him, excuse me, I've got a frog in my throat. About how to deal with the problems he's having. Join a union. And then I explained that starting next month, October actually, I start getting my union pension from AFTRA. I have a pension coming. It's not huge, but at least it's something. Unions, they're the way to go.
Fantastic. By the way, Billy Bragg wrote an op-ed for The Guardian the same day he released that song. And if someone liked the song and they're interested in what Billy had to say, they should just look up that Guardian thing, which I also posted at Down With Tyranny when I embedded the song. Meanwhile, Jackie just sent me, like literally a minute ago, a song that you also played called Stars and Stripes.
Yes.
Which she was all excited about.
Yes, a listener, C. Fields, sent it to me in an email, and I played it. It was really good.
And then Jackie got a hold of it and sent it to me, and she loved it.
Very cool, very cool. And yes, I see the Billy Bragg op-ed in The Guardian, and I will post it on the blog with today's show.
Good.
Billy Bragg is great. I mentioned
that's a complex situation with that kid, Oliver, who, I don't know if you knew this or not, but he has since said, for example, that the song is about, and he pointed right to the debate stage, all those Republicans. He was saying, I wrote that song about them.
About them. About them. Exactly. So they even got it wrong. This is typical of Republicans, though. They take credit for things that they have nothing to do with. This guy is apparently pretty non-political. He's like, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not any of those things. And this song was about them.
Yep. So, exactly.
Yeah. And yeah. So the Billy Bragg op-ed starts with "Don't mourn, organize." Were the last words of the great union songwriter Joe Hill, framed on a murder charge and executed in Salt Lake City, Utah, in November 1915. He goes on, Billy Bragg is brilliant. And for the people who don't know him, because he never had a huge hit, but he's been consistently making great music in the vein of Woody Guthrie for decades. And I got to interview him about 10 years ago. He did a new version, and it's been so long, I don't even remember, but of Ode to Joy, of Beethoven's Ninth, and it was part of a movie that came out at the same time. I'm going to find it. This was back when I was on Air America that I had Billy Bragg on, but I'm going to try to find it and play that. You know, we're going to be moving soon, and I'm going to need to have some shows in the can for when we're on the road, and that maybe I'll do that one. People are requesting now shows to play while I'm out, so... Billy Bragg is certainly worthy. I should try to get him back on.
Absolutely. You know, just a little while ago before you and I talked, Ted Lieu had called me.
Mm.
And I've been writing about, or mentioning in my writing, that I feel that there's a blue wave coming. And Ted doesn't necessarily read my blog. He does occasionally.
Uh-huh.
But he's been away. He was in Hokkaido, Hokkaido, I think. I don't know how to pronounce
easy
it.
For
the
you
northernmost
to say. Yes.
Island of Japan.
Uh-huh.
And he just got back, and he said, you know, I feel a blue wave coming. Now, he didn't know that I've been saying that, and I haven't been hearing other people saying it, but I do feel it, and I think we're going to have a blue wave. Now, the thing is I feel there's also going to be a very, very large Republican turnout for Trump. But I still feel that the Democrats are going to win back the House. And if the wave is big enough, they'll prevent the Republicans from taking the Senate as well.
Oh, I hope so. And it can be done. You know what? The energy that happened, not only here in this country, but around the world, the day after Trump's inauguration... back in 2017, I guess it was, the Women's March. We need to mobilize that again.
Right. Well, I have a feeling. In fact, Ted said he had that same feeling that the Supreme Court has really helped to do that, and that that you know, even if people aren't, like, you know, shouting right now, when that by the time the election comes, that's what was going to be. That will be on the minds of many, many, many millions of people. That horrible anti-abortion, anti-choice decision that the Supreme Court made. You know, it won't be the only thing, but it'll be the biggest thing.
Right, right, and I think it will. But we need that collective energy again. So hopefully somebody will organize it. Yeah, we're still, you know, a year and a few months away, but the disconnect is disconcerting. The fact that this man, if you pay attention to facts, we see he's under indictment on 91 felony charges, four separate jurisdictions. It's astounding. And people are still saying, well, I don't care. Even if he's convicted, I'll still vote for him.
Right. Marjorie Taylor Greene went even further than that. She said, even if he's in prison, I'll vote for him.
Oh, my God. You know, come
on. One of my readers sent me this incredibly beautiful quote from George Orwell. In a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
you know,
I saw
that.
I did. I saw that. And, you know, you have a post up, Howie. There were two of your posts today that really got me. Of course, I definitely need to talk about the your newest one, which is kind of blew my mind. We'll get there. But the other one you wrote yesterday, you probably know what P01135809 is. we do. Have you heard the Jenny, you know, 567... The song parodies? 5309, 56, P01135809. They're great. They're out there. There are a couple of them out there. But you said, do you know what 74,223,976 is? You should.
That's how many people voted for Trump in 2020.
Astounding to
me. I mean,
me.
Despite the fact that we just had 4 years of him.
Right. I know.
74 million people voted for him again. It's just unbelievable to me. In fact, not even despite, because of what they saw here from 2017 till 2020, they voted for him.
Right. And then you got someone like this Rama Smarmy guy who's like, Donald Trump was the best president of the 21st century. Like, stop it. This man is frightening. And the media can't get enough of him. It's like they're dubbing him Trump 2.0, and they're giving him as much attention, too.
You know, there is a real story that the media should cover, but they're not. And I think I have that coming up later today. Someone did a video, which is really excellent video, that tells how he got rich. And basically...
Yeah, pharmaceutical scam, right?
Right, a pump and dump... scheme, which I think is illegal. I mean, actually, it should be investigated. He should be in prison.
Yeah, from what I understand, he bought some small pharmaceutical company that had a drug that was ineffective and didn't really do anything. They made one little change to it that didn't change its effectiveness at all.
His mother made that change. She's a physician.
Right. Mother made this one little adjustment, didn't really make any difference, and he went all over TV with his electric personality and pushed the hell out of it. And so some investors jumped on, lost a lot of money, but he and his mother got very, very rich.
Right. Because they, you know, in other words, they drove up the price of the stock.
That's right.
And then at the right time, him and his mother sold their stocks, made millions and millions of dollars. And then the whole thing collapsed and everybody who bought it lost all of their money, every penny.
Right. I mean, that's like Martin Scorsese territory, isn't it?
That's exactly what it is. It's actually even worse because they faked some clinical trial that you know. So that itself is completely illegal, and they did that, and that's why both him and his mother need to be in prison.
And what's her name? The Theranos woman, Elizabeth Holmes. Same thing. It's a scam.
And, right. and they she just, isn't.
She is in prison now, isn't she? I think she is. I think she was finally incarcerated. So, you know, maybe he's got it coming to him. He should. I hope he's investigated by the FDA and anybody else who is supposed to be riding herd over this kind of stuff. It's a medication, God damn it. You know, this is just horrible on so many levels.
Exactly.
Anyway, so the other story that I wanted to ask you about, I see you've put up one since, but it's this one. By the way, the artwork that I used on today's graphic, I do it like a show card each day.
Well, let me just guess at what you're going to say.
Yes.
You're going to talk about a chameleon.
A chameleon? Karma chameleon?
A picture of Nikki Haley, that's a chameleon.
No, I'm not. Although I did use that in today's show card. All the artwork, and I'm guessing she did this one too, but maybe not. Nancy Ohanian, I want to give her credit because I used a bunch of her art that I lifted from downwithtyranny.com. She's great. So people should check her out. Am I pronouncing her name right?
Nancy Ohanian, yes. But she doesn't do all of the art for
us.
She does great stuff. And we have our art director does great stuff as well.
Who is the art director?
Bill.
Okay, well, I've lifted stuff from both of them because I lifted a George Santos Vogue cover where he's in this lovely pink puffy coat.
That was Bill.
A nerdy Ron DeSantis with in a Pee Wee Herman kind of outfit. Trump in his prison stripes. That's Nancy because I know her style. That's Nancy, and the Tim Scott in the megaphone is Nancy, and I guess the other ones are Bill, the Nikki Haley chameleon and the alien Rama Smarmy.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and by the way, I do call him Rama Smarmy instead of Swarmy because he is.
I've been calling him that, and also I started calling him Rama Swampy.
Well, that's good too, but Smarmy is perfect. And his new first name, in case you're wondering, is Valtrax. I think it's Valtrax. It's the herpes medication. But this one, I've got the, here, let me put the headline up. Tim Scott and George Santos are both gay Republicans, but very different gay Republicans. You make some allegations here, Howie. Now, and I love the photo of Lindsay with his pals. And there's Tim Scott.
Lindsay in the closet with Tim Scott.
Yes. So Tim Scott, I hadn't heard this before about
really?
Tim Scott. I had not. No. And
been out there for years.
Yeah. Well, there is apparently some talk because he is a bachelor, and bachelors historically.
And he's just looking for the right gal.
Right. Sure he is. But you have a line in here about, okay, let me just share the beginning. The first paragraph starts early this morning in the silliest story of the day. Axios writer Alex Thompson did a whole post on Tim Scott being gay without once using the word gay or homosexual, closeted, LGBTQ, queer, homosexual, queen, bisexual, not even friend of Dorothy or sodomite. Instead, they smeared Bob Kerry by implying he's anything like South Carolina closet queen Tim Scott. That's the first part. There's something in the water, I guess, in South Carolina because both Tim Scott and Lindsey Graham are the senators.
Oh, the Republican Party in South Carolina is the gayest Republican Party in the country. There are so many gays that you can't even count them all. It's just like one happy old gay club, and they're all in the closet.
We'll have a gay old time. Anyway, but your next line, you said, and they never quite explained what happened between Cory Booker and transparent beard Rosario Dawson, who was also queer.
Right, Rosario is fabulous.
Yes.
Rosario is fabulous. You know, this is my hospital. Can you hold on one
yes,
second?
Yes, go. Anyway, go ahead. Well, Howie's answer.
I'm on the radio right now, so can you call me back?
Oh, yes, of course.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi. Good. Okay. Yeah. And by the way, let's just say
somebody from the hospital calling me because I'm giving a donation and they're calling me to get the donation going.
Oh, very nice. So the hospital.
Like a medical emergency or anything like that.
Oh, good. Good, 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 good. I'm glad to hear it. The hospital that saved your life. Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
And my thing with them is that I don't want to just give the money to the hospital. I want to give it specifically to the doctor who's doing the research. So I want I want her to get the money rather than the hospital to get the money. Anyway,
very good.
In terms of Rosario, she, you see there's a link there, and that's her talking about the fact that she is gay.
Oh.
So Cory Booker used her when he was running for president. He couldn't, he had, although he's a bachelor, a lifelong bachelor, uh-huh. looking for the right gal, he made believe that she was his girlfriend
right.
and he was dating her. He's got this boyfriend way before then and still the boyfriend, so longtime boyfriend, called, I wrote his name in there. He's a rapper.
Okay.
Yeah, you see the name?
No, hold on. I got to go back to the post.
Anyway, it doesn't matter what the kid's name is.
Here it is.
But the two of them have basically been together. It's not that big of a secret. Everyone in New Jersey politics knows
Chica.
It.
Oh no, that's the magazine. Never mind. That was the magazine. Yeah, I don't know.
Right at the end of the paragraph, it has the guy's name. It doesn't matter what his name is. The point that I was trying to make is that here's this guy in the Axios story talking about gay people, including Cory Booker, but it was primarily about Tim Scott, and he never says anything about anyone being gay, but I mean that's obviously what he's talking about,
right?
Except in the case of Bob Kerry, a former, I think he was a governor as well, but a former senator, yeah, I think governor and senator of Nebraska, who isn't gay, who has nothing to do with being gay. He divorced his wife, so he was single. I mean, it made no sense. This guy doesn't belong in that cat. Everyone else in the article is a closeted gay person. Who the magazine doesn't even mention. It's very, very strange.
It is.
Anyway,
very strange.
So that inspired me to then go on carry on about something completely different that has nothing to do with that.
But, okay, so I didn't know that about Cory Booker or Rosario Dawson. It says Chica is the name of this queer rapper. So maybe that's who it was. I don't know.
Oh, you know what? Goddamn, what is it? Spell check
yep.
changes things. So the guy's name is not Cheek. I'll go back and fix
okay.
it.
That's not on
name.
Your. I was looking on the Advocate website. It says Dawson quoted Chica, Chika. I will not be ashamed. This is just who I am and who I was meant to be. No mistakes.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that Chica has nothing to do with this.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
This boyfriend of Cory Booker.
See. Okay. Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Oh, T-Bone. Is that who you're talking about?
Oh, that's the rapper T-Bone. That's Cory Booker's love squeeze.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
So,
I didn't know who T-Bone
was. Cory Booker
is in
the closet as well, by the way.
Yeah, well, obviously.
Everyone in New Jersey politics knows this. And in fact, whenever Menendez gets angry at Cory, he threatens that he's going to expose that to the general public.
Wow. And before I start getting hate mail... Howie Klein, you're a gay man.
Yes, I am.
Okay, we thought I'd air that in there. So,
in fact, I sometimes like write about being a gay person, and the other day I just like felt like talking about where I got some of my ideas for being gay. So I wrote a story, which I believe is either coming out. It's not tonight. It's coming out tomorrow night. I wrote a story about when I was very, very young. I read. Jean Genet's autobiography, Thieves' Journal, and then a few years later, I read John Retchie's book, City of Night, and both of them are the protagonist in both of them, and they're both kind of autobiographical. The protagonist doesn't have a name.
Mm.
I mean, in the Retchie book, it's kind of young man, but in the Jean Genet book, he has no name at all. And back in the 60s, when I read these two things, that's when I got the idea that Retchie was definitely doing an American version of the Jean Genet book.
Huh.
And anyway, though these are not, gays by the standard of today. These are not people that want to have same-sex marriages or adopt children or live in a suburb. These are people who saw themselves as outsiders, criminals, and they define themselves very, very differently from the way people in the LGBTQ plus community see themselves today. And this was the gay
identity that I grew up in. And I talk about that in my story.
Ah, uh-huh. Okay.
Vagabonds. They traveled all over the world. They had, fleeting sex. They mistook sex for love, and they tried to figure that out and tried to figure out who they were. Both of the books are considered classics in the LGBTQ community. I think they're still classics. I don't know. I don't know if they're still classics because they're so outside of what people, think of as being gay these days.
Right.
But anyway, I recommend both of the books.
Cool. But, you know, back then,
JonBenet is an incredibly great writer.
JonBenet? Like
John, J-E-A-N, he's French.
Genet,
G-E-N-E-T.
Okay.
Jean Genet.
Because I thought you were saying JonBenet, like Ramsey?
No, Jean Genet. Great, great book. In fact, you know who Sartre is, right?
Sure. Yes, that I know.
He wrote an introduction, and then there's been an updated introduction more recently by Patti Smith.
Oh, wow. Very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't tell you how important Jean Genet is. And then the other guy is John Retchie, who I think is great, but he doesn't have the kind of,
clout.
Literary clout, as Genet.
Gotcha. Gotcha. You know, things were different. So in the chat room, somebody said, oh, the Rock Hudson effect. By the way, there's a great streaming bio, documentary on Rock Hudson. I think it's on Netflix or one of the channels. I can't keep track. But back then, until like the 70s or 80s, being gay meant being closeted. I mean, very few people were publicly out. Even I remember watching Charles Nelson Reilly on Hollywood Squares and things. Like, he was obviously gay, but they never talked about it. Liberace, they never talked about it. You knew it.
But, no, he denied it. He did talk about it. Liberace denied to his died of AIDS complications.
No, right.
Never admitted he was gay.
Wow. And that was a cultural thing back then. People were afraid to. They thought it would kill their career. And in many cases, it probably would have.
Yep. Even after that, I can remember having long talks with K.D. Lang when she just wasn't sure if it was the right move for her career-wise to come out as a lesbian.
Wow.
And, of course, she decided it was, or she always knew it was. But, she was getting advice from some people who thought it was the wrong thing to do, and she really wanted to do it. And she did. She made the right decision.
Wow. Yeah, see, and you want to believe, the part of me that, maybe the naive part of me, wants to believe that, people can always just be who you are. That's the best way to live. But then again, I'm not a gay woman, and I don't have to live. I've got the other prejudices. Look, we all have something that people hate us for. In my case, these days, I'm Jewish. Even though I'm not practicing Jewish, I'm Jewish, and my God, the horrible anti-Semitic things that have been lobbed at me on Shitter now, because that place has become Shitter, it's unbelievable. And when you try to report these anti-Semitic things to Shitter, they say, I don't care, there's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't go against our community standards. So,
wow.
Yeah. It's a sign of the times. It's Donald Trump coming out and saying all the horrific things that white supremacists and other racists believe and making it like okay to come out of that closet and admit wear your racism and bigotry on your sleeve or something.
Well, polarization is always something that authoritarians use to gain power with.
Right.
That theme that's been going through my blog for years, and it's a very important one, especially when you think about someone like Donald Trump and how somebody like that can get power.
Right, and that's exactly it. And I think we're at a place. Look, I know you've never been a Joe Biden fan. In fact, I'd go further than that. You just really dislike the guy. But I got into it on Twitter yesterday with Peter Dow. I finally had to block him.
My God, you had him on the show?
No. I got into it with him on Twitter. Because I mean, the shit he's saying. Look, I understand, be critical. But if you're going to talk about Joe Biden being too old for the job, you can't not talk about Donald Trump, who's 3 years younger. If you're not fit for it at 80, if you think the age of 80 is when you become senile, well, 78 and being a fat, out of shape blob is not healthy either. And what I said is, I think that Joe Biden, far from perfect, you know how I feel about Joe Biden too, but on his worst day, I think he's got more mental acuity and is in better physical shape than Donald Trump on his best. And how the media centers...
It's not about age.
No.
It's about mental fitness.
Exactly.
Donald's obviously not mentally fit.
Not in the least. And how, I'm sorry, the media has been complicit in this. Pile on Joe Biden if you want, but you can't leave Donald Trump out of the conversation. And again, I would love to see a head-to-head matchup. Forget the cage match between Elon, Elmo, and Bill Gates, or whoever, or Zuckerberg, or whoever is going to do that nonsense. Let's put Donald Trump and Joe Biden in a ring, have them take a mental fitness test and then a physical fitness test. I want to see it because there's no contest there. And let these people eat their words.
Yeah.
God, it pisses me off. Can you tell?
Oh.
And with that, we've reached the end of the hour.
Wow. I had no idea.
So quick. So quick. Time flies, you know? All right, Howie, you mentioned the hospital. I don't know if I mentioned it yesterday or not. Yesterday was my 7-year anniversary of my lung cancer surgery. I'm 7 years cancer free.
Great. In fact, a few weeks ago, it was my 8th year, and my doctor said, "Yeah, it's 8 years. Let's take you off the chemo."
Oh, yay! With me, they told me only 5 years, but your cancer was rare and real, just horrific. And you beat it. That's amazing.
I did. Right. And I said, well, you know, we're taking me off the chemo. What if it comes back? And she said, oh, we have a new way of dealing with that now. If it comes back, we make a special pill for you based on your own proteins. And you take it, you know, very rarely. It's not like a pill you have to take all the time. And that's the end of it.
I love it. Oh, I'm so, it's good. Congratulations. That's great. We, you know, we have to celebrate and we're headed out west. And so when we will be within driving distance and we get out there, we're going to have to get together and have a little celebration.
Great. Well, Roland absolutely loves Arizona.
Oh,
good. I mean, way more than I do. And he, any excuse to go to Arizona, he always wants to take.
Cool. Well, then you'll come out to Arizona and we'll have a party.
Great.
Oh, sounds good. All right, but we'll talk again, you know, before then. Like next Thursday, if not before that.
Okay, talk to you Thursday.
Thanks, Howie Klein. Find Howie, of course, at downwithtyranny.com. And when you're there, go to the Blue America PAC page because we don't talk next week, I promise, with Howie, we'll talk about Blue America and the candidates because, you know, we often veer off into other topics, as you can tell. But Blue America, again, does great work finding, identifying great progressive candidates. And it is primary season, and that's when you go to the mat for the real progressives and try to turn the makeup of Congress towards a more people-oriented, helping people. You know, that's what progressives do. All right, with that, we're done. I haven't figured out what we're doing tomorrow yet. It's, you know, it's been, I'm being pulled in 25 different ways between the move and the packing in the car. We finally today are buying our car because the lease is up on it November 1st. Everything happens at once. Everything everywhere all at once. Stress, but for another day. Okay, tomorrow, when are we moving? Hopefully before the end of September. So we are in packing mode. If you have heard an author interviewed on this show anytime in the recent past and think, I really want that book, please email me, Nicole@NicoleSandler.com. I have a bunch of books. So you handle the postage and maybe kick in a couple extra bucks would be nice. But, you know, whatever. If you want something, write to me. You see any artwork you like, although not these three kitties because those are my last three commissions, but anything else, it's all up for grabs. So tell me what you want and we'll see what we can do. All right. With that, I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you for listening, everybody. Sorry for my manic ways right now. Bye.